Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Big T here with you, and welcome to episode number 49 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for today, Wednesday, April 26th, 2017. Like I said, I'm your host, Big T, here with you, and we have a very special guest with us here right now on the phone. He is the host of Chair Shot Reality. We got Mr. Justin Labar on the show with us. How you doing, Justin?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Well, I want to start off with your early days of your career, right when you started out. How did everything come about, and where did you start off at, and what was the first big job in the wrestling business that you landed? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I guess first job would have been Chair Shot. I was 2009, summer 2009, and I had just finished college, and I was working here in Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Trib, doing sports stuff, covering different teams here in town, and WrestleZone.com at the time was looking to kind of expand into video in 2009. So, YouTube was exploding more and more, and just everything was starting to become, video everywhere. And they were looking for some video content, and I was put in touch, got in touch with them, and basically I had an idea for, more and more talk shows were popping up, a lot of them were just audio based, for wrestling talk shows and such, and there's not a lot out there in the way of video, especially like well produced video. You might find some simple webcam stuff or something, but nothing that was really boldly produced. And I said, I just graduated and been working simultaneously, I was getting my degree, in television and had gaining producing experience and editing experience and all that stuff, and I thought that I could probably put together some kind of a video talk show, and then that's basically kind of what the pitch, the concept was, and it started at the first. It was a job, but it was a free job. There was no money going into it. So we had to see if it was going to work and stick around before I remember wrestling. A lot of people know wrestling is not like a lot of wrestling, but it's expensive. It's part of a giant corporation, has a big media company called Crave, who are based in Los Angeles, and they own like a dozen websites, and WrestleZone happens to be one of them. So the good news about that was, not only does WrestleZone have a good distribution, it looks good, but there's some money behind it, but you had to work to get to that money. So we started doing Chair Shot with one or two cameras, and it was real raw and real grainy. It really wasn't as boldly produced as I knew I wanted to be in my head, but it just took time and money to get to that point. And after about a year, it was doing well. It was doing a few thousand views, and we were consistent every week. And finally, WrestleZone started putting some money into it, just about enough, just a little bit, just enough to keep me encouraged on the long days of editing. It was really the base and operation of shooting and then editing, and then over time it just grew, and more money got into it, and more money, and then eventually we moved into a nice studio at Point Park University, which was my alma mater. And at the point now we are tomorrow we'll go to the studio, it'll be episode 361, so 361 weekends worth of filming. And now it's great, the whole crew, director, producers, and camera people, sound people, and there's not much editing needs to be done. Everything's cut live from the director, so all the camera shots are taken live, and it's been crazy how it evolved. And that was the first one that went on the map, and in the process of growing Chair Shot, Bleach Report, eventually started worked with them for several years, and left them right after they got bought by Turner Sports, just because I could see some business dynamics changing that I didn't really like. And wrote for the Pittsburgh Trib, and I got a radio show that was offered here in Pittsburgh, and everything kind of just kept growing and growing, and that was all just in the coverage area and talking about wrestling. And then there's also, of course, the independent wrestling side of things, which gave me a whole other perspective and helped feed my opinions and my analysis, because I was getting some different exposure to wrestling than most of the other people that were talking about it on all the wrestling websites had ever experienced. That helped me
And I'll tell you, Chair Shot Reality, I always tune into Chair Shot Reality. I've been watching for, I would say, about, probably about two and a half, three years now, and it's a great show and very well produced.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. We sometimes think about throwing out some of the very old episodes from the very beginning ones just to make people laugh. We really haven't done it, but I think it's something we're gonna do here eventually. Just kind of show us a little snippets of how where it came from, just for an appreciation and a thank you to the people that that stuck by it. And now it's a whole different ballgame in 2017. And now it's it's released on WrestleZone. They have a video player, for them, and then there's YouTube, the WrestleZone YouTube channel, a Chair Shot YouTube channel, and then this little shorter 30-second or 60-second clips to put out on Facebook and Twitter. So it's crazy the way it's all changed now in terms of getting the content out there. But that's just the name of the game, I guess.
Oh, social media has been a huge launching platform to get all the content out there.
Sure.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Prime Wrestling, Cleveland All Pro Wrestling, and then when it transitioned into Prime Wrestling, because I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and that's where I live, and that's how I actually first discovered you. I remember watching Prime Wrestling, and I believe you had the commissioner role or something going on there, and you were feuding with Vic Trivilianti, and he was running the Megalomaniacs trying to get you out of power, and I remember you guys had a huge storyline, and I'm just curious, working in Prime Wrestling, what was it like down there? Because I have so many fond memories of Prime Wrestling.
Well, good. Before it got brand into Prime. Yeah, I mean, the time of speaking up was fun. Vic and I were very good friends, so it kind of made, it kind of had a lot of fun doing that stuff together. I mean, the day that he signed on me was on a pay-per-view at Resolution, and he had pulled me out of pulled me out of the ring and threw me in a bear guard. That's a nasty scar. On my forehead for the next day, and I actually got engaged the next day. Yeah, so remember those pictures have a nice big scar. So we always joke about that. And he was a great guy, and I'm happy for him. He's now down in NXT doing great stuff. And it was fun time. It was even cooler even prior to that because it was my introduction. How I got into PWO was the storyline of me just being there, as the Chair Shot Reality host, and just kind of being there in the audience, just as a guest, and we worked, a year-long angle, which I don't think it does anymore, but it started, it milked it very slowly that I was just there as a guest, and I was happy to be there with the one person I didn't get along with, it was Marion Fontaine, and I had some negative things to say about him, and we really planted a seed, and it was, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was more in Western Ohio. But it was, I remember one of the night we finally pulled the trigger where I was front row, and Fontaine had lost his title. And I was kind of talking trash from the front row, and then he hit me. And he hit me, and again, most people just thought about resistance. I was due to the fan, and then due to those, this guy, I beat the building earlier in the day to go over what was going to happen, but I would then leave the building, and I come back and we'll kill the fan. So, I just thought he came to the next area and went and sat down. So, I really had a belief that I was a tick of pain. Customer, and then refine. And it was a huge crowd. It was one of the largest crowds that the company ever had. And he hit me, and the local cops that were there, everybody got in the middle of it, and they escorted me out. It was just an effective. I remember Raven, ACW legend Raven was at that show, and he was backstage, and we had a monitor backstage. And I remember coming back through. Eventually, they took me off, and I got to be back with some of the guys backstage, they were saying how Raven looked like a pretty crazy and well-executed storyline, and for Raven, who's done some crazy stuff, it was kind of a cool compliment to get. So, and that led and built all the way up to Resolution. It was me managing Kevin Nash, and I brought Kevin in, who I was legit at that time doing a lot of stuff with in the wrestling world, and so I brought him as my secret weapon, and he teamed with Aaron Draven and went up against Fontaine and a guy named Brody Lee, who everyone everybody now knows is Luke Harper. So that was the main event on iPay-Per-View for Resolution. And, you know, and then that then segued into them bringing me back, which I thought was a compliment, because originally it was just going to be for that angle. Yeah, I thought it would be done. And then the company is nice enough to say, hey, you know, we think we need an on-air commissioner. And, you know, they brought me back, and then, of course, I did the stuff with it. And, you know, a lot of fun, a lot of company lasted. Unfortunately, you know, it didn't, and some things went on that stopped it. But it was great. It was a very learning experience. And then, you know, I ended up moving over here locally where I'm at now, Pittsburgh, and working with IWC Wrestling, which is one of the longest running companies in the history of independent companies. Been around for 16 years now. And you'll see CM Punk, Dan O'Brien, Cesaro, I mean, literally everybody you can think of, you know, went through IWC and held titles. So it's, you know, another great company to work with right now.
It sounds like it has a very rich history.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we have our Super Indie title, which is probably the most famous title, like I said, you know, every year, every June is a Super Indie tournament, you know, and like I said, Colt Cabana has won it, and Punk's been in it, and Brian Cesaro, and, you know, a lot of guys have gone to, I mean, when I got to know Luke Gallows several years ago, and Gallows and I started, doing stuff together, he even said to me, he's like, man, when I started out, you know, see, he grew up in Western Maryland. He said, man, when I was just starting out in the Indies, and I was trying to get whatever experience I could, because I used to call IWC and always try to get myself booked into those tournaments and booked on those shows so they knew how good they were, you know, and it was cool because not long after we had that conversation, we ended up getting to bring, you know, I brought Gallows in for an IWC show and managed him, you know, did it was a Bullet Club member for the night, and it was fun. So it's really got a great history, a great fan base, so.
Well, Justin, I want to ask you another question, one more question while we have a little bit of time here. And just curious, this is something I usually always end with the guests that come on the show. And right now it sounds like Chair Shot Reality is booming. It's, you know, it's succeeding, it's growing, it's getting bigger and better. What I'd like to know is what is in the future for Justin Labar, and what is your main goal on what you hope to do in the pro wrestling business?
It's hard to predict what's going to happen. I learned it every year. It's just crazy with the growth and things that happen. And obviously everybody's in the wrestling business. Everybody's goal, I mean, usually is something with WWE, just to get up to the top of the industry. You know, I've been fortunate to work around WWE a lot, and I have had conversations with them over the years. I've had full interviews. They brought me down to Orlando, and I got to tour the Performance Center and go backstage for NXT, and every that night I get to meet with Triple H a little bit. I mean, I had my talks, and I've started to learn more and more about if I was ever to make it there, what my role would be there. Right now is not really the right time for them or for me, which is fine. I mean, I'm going to be 30 this year, just like people getting a little older. My hairline would tell you otherwise, but I mean, I got a lot of life, a lot ahead of me, and I've gotten to do a lot just in the last, you know, 8 years. So, WWE's always going to be a goal in mind when everything makes sense to be there. But at the same time, you know, if I ever go there, you know, I have to stop everything else I do. I can't do Chair Shot. I can't do my radio show. I can't do IWC wrestling. I can't, throw the Kevin Nash WrestleMania party. You know, can't help be on for that party every year, wherever it is. I can't, do a funny skit like we did a few weeks ago with Adam Cole. I mean, I can't do that stuff if I was ever to make it to WWE again, if and if. So I'm not necessarily a rush. I'm just kind of enjoying what I'm doing here. I'm always looking for fun opportunities. I'm always looking to network and is learn more. And every IWC show, every wrestler interview, every, you know, a drink at the bar, every experience is learning. I learn more and more about the business and where it's been, you know, where it's at, where it's going. So I'm just kind of happy with all the properties I've built up and what's going on. I'm happy just to do that. I mean, I'm happy to do interviews like this. So, that's kind of weird. I don't really have any kind of timeline right now. I don't really operate that way. I kind of just take things as
they come. Hey, that's the best way to do it. Just take it as it comes. And I got to tell you, I wish you the very best of luck, and I wish you, wish you all the success on your journey that you're pursuing right now. And I want to take this time to give you the floor to say if you have anything on social media that you'd like to promote, or anything upcoming that you like to promote, or things with Chairshot Reality that you like to promote and tell the fans, go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Well, yeah, I mean, the best place to find me is Twitter, at Justin LeBlanc on Twitter. That's kind of like the home for everything I have, all my links, all my thoughts, everything there. You know, Chairshot Reality, the videos, you know, it's usually 3 or 4 videos every single weekend, between Friday and Monday, or Friday and Tuesday. You can go to WrestleZone.com and click on the WZTV tab. You can go to Chairshot Reality Facebook or their Twitter. Or you can go to YouTube and type in Chairshot Reality. So you can really see this. You really can find it. Just no matter where you go, it's no matter whatever works for you. And you can, you know, subscribe to the channels or what have you. That's every weekend. Every Wednesday, I have my audio podcast, which, you know, Chairshot's a little bit more shorter form in terms of, you know, 4, 5, 6 minute videos. And I'm debating with some of my co-hosts. You know, my audio, my radio show is an hour long, and it's a little bit more, I'm a little bit more revealing. I can talk a little more freely about what's going on or conversations I might have with a wrestler or some thoughts. And, you know, just had Kurt Angle on 2 weeks ago there talking about his Hall of Fame, you know, week. So there's that every Wednesday. That's called Wrestling Reality. You can go to iTunes or any audio platform and search for it. And again, you can subscribe. And then Upgroove, that's just your site of the Pittsburgh Trib. That's where all my wrestling writing's been at now. Upgroove, it's UPGRUV.com. You can get Upgroove, and, you know, my writing's, you know, not on the same day, it's sporadic, it's throughout the week, but I'm always writing new things there. Again, you can just search my name and kind of bookmark my author page and find stuff there. So it's literally every day of the week I have something new, either in print, audio, or video. So, yeah, something for everybody.
Perfect. Perfect. And Justin, if, you know, maybe sometime down the road, you know, if you got, you know, some more news, you know, as things progress, maybe we could have you, back on the show here sometime down the road and, you know, something like that. It'd be awesome to have you back. I definitely had a great time tonight.
Yeah, no, thank you. Appreciate the support.
No problem. And, stay on the line with me. I will be right back with you in 1 second. Let me just go off the air here with the live audience, and I'll be right back to you in 1 second, Justin. Ladies and gentlemen, tuning in, this has been episode 40, number 49 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast with special guest Justin LeBar. Make sure you check out Justin on all his social media platforms. Check out Chairshot Reality. Check out his audio podcast, all that good stuff that he told you about. And I will see you guys next week for episode number 50 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. So you guys have a great night. I love you all, and I will talk to you very soon. And another big thank you to Mr. Justin LeBar for coming on the show tonight. Thank you very much, and good night, everybody.